Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when was the last time you worshiped an idol? You probably say, well, I've never done that. Well, let me change the question. When is the last time you worshiped yourself? And you're saying, whoa, I never did that either. I would like to share with you now the results of a very serious longitudinal study which was conducted by a team of psychologists. Beginning in 1982, a team of psychologists constructed a questionnaire and handed it out to selected college students, and they have been doing this since that time, so much so that last year they had gotten back responses from 16,500 college students, certainly the largest longitudinal study of its type ever conducted. And let me tell you that the results of this psychological evaluation are absolutely frightening. Not only that, they're depressing. In a nutshell, what they found is that you college students, your current generation of college students, are the most narcissistic, self-centered students that there have been since 1982. Now, that's saying quite a bit. What is narcissism, anyway? Well, narcissism, if you look at a dictionary, it would say that it's excessive interest in yourself. So where does this excessive interest in yourself really come from? What fuels this? Well, according to the principal author of this tremendous study, she says that it starts very, very young in life. In fact, she is so bold as to say this: we need to stop endlessly repeating, you're special, and having children repeat that back. Kids are self-centered enough already, she goes on to say. And then she talks about how this self-centeredness in people, this narcissism, is fueled by things such as American Idol and MySpace and YouTube and instructors who refuse to allow students to fail. And, you know, there's cultural consequences for this kind of narcissism. You college students, your generation, you have huge problems with relationships, according to this study. Your relationships are completely faulted. You have romantic interests which come and go. They're kind of flighty. You're incapable of warmth. You're more given to infidelity. Not only that, but you college students, you're more likely than other generations of college students to be dishonest, over-controlling, and violent. So take that there. But, you know, those are frightening results, aren't they? This is your counterparts throughout the country. Let's put this now in spiritual terms. Narcissism. Let's take that word and let's substitute a few other words. Let's go to self-worship or self-idolatry. And we go back to our text. In our text, Paul writes, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." The immoral person is the person who has lust in the heart, has fantasies in the brain, and who may or may not act those out, but that person is given to pornography, to homosexuality, to adultery, to fornication, and it's all idolatry. It is putting your own gratification in the place of God. And then there's that impurity which comes from the tongue. So when I gossip, I look big and you look small. Or when I tell coarse jokes, or where I use profanity, it makes me look big and it makes somebody else look less high. And it's idolatry. And our text says, look at greed. I mean, that's got to be an obvious idolatry. I see something. I want something. I'm going to get something because I'm worth it. And it's idolatry. College students? No, let's forget college students. Let's go to Christian college students. You know you do not want to go through your life revering, loving, trusting in yourself above all things, and paying the eternal consequences of damnation and hell throughout eternity. So where do you turn? To turn away from narcissism, self-worship, where do you turn? You turn to Jesus Christ. Our text is so phenomenal. Just listen to these words. Christ loved us, and now literally, he surrendered himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ surrendered himself up for us. We think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, surrendering his will to the will of the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then we think of those temple guards coming after him with their torches and their swords in hand. And Jesus could have run off into the darkness, but he surrendered himself to them. We think of Jesus Christ on trial for his life, opening not his mouth in defense of himself, but surrendering himself to that verdict. We think of him lying on the ground with his arms positioned on the cross with the nails raised above his hands and feet, and he didn't try to get away. He surrendered himself unto crucifixion, and our text says he loved us and surrendered himself up for us. He did it for us. That incredible transfer took place where we gave him our sin and our guilt and our shame, and he took it upon himself. And he faced hell and he suffered death in our place because he loves us. Oh, just the opposite of narcissism or self-idolatry. You think about it. And was God the Father ever pleased with this? I'd like to read to you again from this text. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The odor, if you will, of his blood, his sweat, his tears, and his anguish reached the throne of the Almighty Father in heaven, and to his Father these were a sweet smell of sacrifice. And God the Father was pleased with what his Son had done. Earlier in Ephesians we read that he raised Jesus from the dead, he set him at his right hand in the heavenly places and put all things under Jesus' feet. Jesus has taken us from this horrible sin to a life of salvation with the promise of eternal life through him, Jesus Christ. And so now, how do we respond to having been saved? How do we respond in our lives? Our text says, God says, I give you permission to thank me. Isn't that something? And that's almost a no-brainer. We think about how we have the opportunity to thank and praise the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But God gives us permission to respond in another way as well. In our text we read, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Children imitate their parents. God says, I give you permission to imitate me. You can imitate me. That's wonderful. I approve of it. In fact, that just makes my heart glow with warmth. Imitate me, God says. Instead of selfishness, there is love. There is forgiveness, even as Christ has forgiven us. There's that kind of love. So when all is said and done, you know, I really don't care what they say about your generation of college students. I know this, Christians. You know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have experienced in your life His love. You understand the forgiveness of sins. And now you can go out into this world and reflect that to others. Yes, indeed, be imitators of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen.